welcome to Eric and Olga as they come. Eric's going to come and minister to us in song. So, something to look forward to. Bless you, mate.
Morning up the back. Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to see familiar faces. I got hugs from people this morning that I know their faces, but don't know where I know them from. So, and look, thank you so much, Church, for the offering, which is a real surprise. It's a blessing for us personally, and so thank you for that. It goes to God's work. Amen. I love the first song we sang as a church. Our God is greater. Our God is higher. He's higher than any other name, isn't he? I want to share this song that I've just penned recently. Son of God. It's all about Jesus this morning, friends. Your ways abound in faithfulness, Your majesty, the splendor I see, heaven and earth will bow at the mention of Your name. Creation proclaims,
You are
the Son of God, the Creator of everything. So I want it to be a little bit rebellious, I guess, and just write a song that declares that we are made uniquely in God's image, God's creation. The world has been created through Him, and it's for our enjoyment. So this song I wrote, it's called Intentionally. God created everything intentionally. You believe that? Got to put on the right song though. Here we go. The wind may blow and the seas may roar. The moon has eyes and the sun with its fire may glow. Guess what? My God may know. That's right. Trees so shapely, mountains free. Stars are looking back at me. That's right. My God, you made them all. Who remembers their life-changing experience with God? Awesome. I remember coming back and sitting on the roof of our house and just looking at the stars and realizing that God was real and how big He was. Well, this scripture is found in Romans 4. It says, we are all made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Can I borrow your glasses? Gosh. That was really blurred. I really would like to read the scriptures, what it actually says here, so. Okay. Oh, that's close by. You don't have to hold it back in it. And we can all be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we've done. For all have sinned, all fall short of God's glory standard. Yet now God, in His precious, in His gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Jesus Christ, who has freed us by taking away my sins and your sins. And I could not see you then. Isn't that good? He takes away our sins. This song's about new beginnings. You'll be familiar with some of the stories in this song. Have your best. The tears roll down her face. Oh, why? And he washed his feet with her hand. Jesus said, get up, my child. Go on with living. Get up, my child. New beginning. Get up, my child. For you I've been forgiven. Go away and sin no more. Why? Yeah, that's all she said. As they threw down the stone. Washed away the lines that he drew. Jesus in the sand, and he said, get up, my child. Go on with living. Get up, my child. It's a new beginning. Get up, my child. You are forgiven. No way. Testify this morning about your goodness, about your wonderful grace, about the purpose and destiny that you have for each one of us who trust in you. I thank you that now that as we live by faith, we trust you even more with our lives, with our destiny. And we know that our trust is secure in you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this family of believers. As Olga shares from your word, from your holy pages, Father, I pray that our hearts will be challenged, will be stirred, that you would equip us this day for this coming week and beyond, Father, to move in your strength. If there's forgiveness to be given to people, that with your strength we can do that. If there's obstacles we need to overcome, we know that we can do that with your strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Typical man. If you've got your Bibles with you, would you like to turn with me to the book of John, please, chapter 14. It is good to be back at Tin Can Bay, although I must admit I forgot about the midget. And so they've had a really good crack at my ankles this morning. Normally I'll always give myself a little bit of a spray, but I was informed that it's usually only when it's overcast that they come out. So. Did somebody tell me a little untruth? I should be looking where the scripture is instead of talking. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. The bit of scripture I want to concentrate on this morning is, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. The beautiful thing about the scripture, you know, is that we've got to understand where it is situated in the Word of God in this particular gospel. Jesus has just told his disciples that he's about to be betrayed by one of them. He's also told them that he's going to leave them. Can you imagine Jesus in the midst of this situation? Here he is, he's trying to comfort his disciples by saying, trust in God, trust also in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. But he himself, in the human form that he came in, must have been so troubled himself.
Oh no, he's God. He can't be ever troubled.
I'm talking about the human side. He took on the form of humanity. He knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew that one of his insiders was going to stab him in the back and betray him. He knew all that was going to come forth, and yet, even knowing this, he encouraged his disciples and those around him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Who are we putting our trust in this morning? Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So often we try to do it our way and we trust ourselves and trust our own logistics and trust our own academic ability and trust, you know, what we can see. But we're living in days now where we're going to be confronted with stuff that's in the natural, that we see, and God saying, no, don't look at that, look to me. Look to me. Look to me. Trust in me. I'm your strong tower. I'm your fortress. I'm the one that will get you through the situations, no matter what season of life you're in. I look at all the greats in the Bible, and you know, they didn't have an easy road. You know, to win, have a victory, you have to be in a battle, right? But one thing they had in common, the greats, they all trusted in the Lord God Almighty. And they did miraculous things, and I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people in today's time. I look at Noah. You know, sometimes God calls us to do stuff, doesn't he? He calls us to step out of our comfort zone.
like my friend praying this morning for the offering. Had you ever done that before? No. No. Actually, I said to him, I gave him a hug and I said, okay, now that I've given you a hug, I said, you've got to pray for the offering. But I said, no, there's no conditions on hugs. But we've got to step out of that comfort zone to see actually the wonder of God. Can I tell you, 14 and a half years we've been in ministry full time, and I have seen the wonder of God in the times when it's been hard. In the times where God has said, get out of your comfort zone and do this for me, or do this with me, because you're never alone. And I look at Noah. God had told him, build a boat, a big boat, an ark. Build it. And can you imagine Noah? He would have been saying, but God, there's never been rain. And there isn't any water around here. What am I doing building a boat for my family and my animals? I don't get it. Can't they walk? No, no, there's going to be rain. Lots of it. It's going to be coming down and it's going to be coming up. Can you imagine Noah in that time? The horrible stuff that people would have been saying about him and to him. Noah, you're a loser, mate. What are you building a boat for? Where's the water? You're imagining things. Imagining? Imagining things. You lost your mind, mate. And he would have had to constantly say, but the Lord my God has said, it is in him and his word that I put my trust. But mate, nothing. It is in him that I put my trust. We know that the rains did fall. We know that the world was flooded. We know that the only survivors were Noah and his family. Why? Because Noah got out of his comfort zone and instead of saying, no, I can't to God, he said, yes, I can with God. And I will. This may be challenging for some of us. See, Father may have been speaking to you to say, well, what if you go and you speak to that person on the street and invite them to church? What would they think of me? Got to start somewhere, that's easy. The next time God calls me, I ask you to go out and pray for those people in the street. It's wonderful. People so appreciate people praying for them. Maybe God's been saying, I want you to go into the mission field. First here in Australia and then overseas. Go to college. Do something that's out of your comfort zone for the world. Look at David. Now God didn't necessarily tell David to fight Goliath. But I strongly believe that God positions his people exactly where he wants them to be. And David was bringing some provisions for the troops from the country. And he walks up and he sees this Goliath, 9 feet tall. And I did some preaching on Goliath years and years ago, and I made Eric make up a cardboard Goliath for me. I drew him, I'm shocking drawing, he looks so ridiculous. But the height was huge. I was like looking up like this. And you know, we're told that David was, you know, he was a ruddy type of guy. He was kind of small. So he would have been like, whoa, he's a big dude. He's huge. But David saw the injustice of what Goliath was trying to do. And he thought, how dare he come against the Israel? How dare he come against us? And something stirred in David, remembering that God positions his people strategically. We don't serve a dumb God. My God is God Almighty. And David was there, and he took it upon himself to go up against Goliath, trusting in the Lord. He knew that, okay, well maybe he might die, but he's dying for a cause. He's dying trying. He's dying trying. That'll have to be my catchphrase, I think, from now on. And he went up against Goliath, looking up. I can just imagine it. And if you've got a great imagination like me, you'll be imagining it too. And Goliath says, "How dare you come against me? Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? Am I a dog?" He'd be looking down. "I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Would you be quivering in your boots? Because sometimes we're put in situations where we have to stand for holiness. We have to stand for righteousness. We have to stand for the Lord God Almighty. And we're quivering in our boots. Don't think this is always easy to get up here and preach the Word of God, because some of the messages God's given me have been mighty hard. And I'm quivering in my boots. Yet knowing that the Lord is for me, He's not against me, we go forth in His power and His strength. And David did just that, and he turned around to Goliath and said, "You know something? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But I'm just going to let you know one thing, Goliath. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. He is the greatest cheerer of your life. He's cheering you on, no matter what you're going through. In your high times and your good times, He's going, 'That's my kid. That's my child. You go.' And in your lowest, He's saying, 'It's okay, I'm here. I'm here. You're not alone. I have never left you and I have never forsaken you, for you are precious to me. You're precious to me.'" Queen Esther had a similar experience. She found out that the Jewish nation was going to be annihilated, and she was a Jew living in a palace. And she thought for one second, or for a few moments, she thought, "I'm going to be exempt from all that because I'm Queen Esther in the palace." But she came to the realization that she was positioned in that palace for a reason. And in the end, she said to Mordecai, her relative, she said, "If I perish, I perish." Because Mordecai had said to her, "Perhaps for such a time as this, you are there." And she went before the king and ended up the Jewish nation was saved. Who likes Paul here? Anybody like Brother Paul in the New Testament? I reckon he is like a whoo-hoo-hoo-hoo man. Right? If I had to look at a man in the Bible, it's like, that's Paul. He'd be a mountain man, I reckon. Well, let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Because the Old Testament, yes, they had people there who went through situations where they had to trust in God. But Paul also, in the New Testament, has been a great example and a great encouragement to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul speaking. "We do not want you to be uninformed, dear brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia." And I just want to stop there. Sometimes in church culture or in church life, when we go through hardship, we tend to keep it to ourselves. We go, especially if you're a little bit prideful, controlling. I'm speaking about myself or what I used to be like. I wouldn't tell anybody that anything was really going on, the nitty-gritty, because I didn't want them to think lowly of me, that I didn't quite have it all together. And so I'd keep it to myself. But Paul says here, "We don't want you to be uninformed of the hardships." He wanted to tell people. Why? Because when you tell people, and I'm not saying that if you're going through a hard time, you should just go around willy-nilly telling everyone, but tell somebody what you're going through that you have complete confidence in, so that they can pray for you, that they can stand with you, and also be accountable to you. We were under great pressure in Asia, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. See, Paul's trust was not on the situation or circumstance. His hope was in Jesus Christ. His hope was in the Lord. And that sustaining, that hope, that knowing that he knew that he knew that he knew that God was for him, kept him going and staying the course. Where you think, oh, well, I mean, if you don't know much about Paul, I mean, he was one of the guys who went through everything. He was what? Imprisoned several times, beaten, shipwrecked, snake bitten. I mean, what else? I've probably left a couple out. I'm sure I have, because I'm not the list of all of it. And it is, because I've forgotten. He went through all of this, and yet he still continued to say, but my hope, our hope, is in the Lord. I will put my trust, even though all I'm going through, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Why? Because he's good. He's good. And yet there was one thing. He had a thorn in his side, the Bible says. And he declares, I prayed 3 times for this thorn to go. We're never actually told what the thorn is. There's been many people who have said it could be this or it could be that. But Paul says, I prayed 3 times for this thing to go. But the Lord assured me, and his assurance was, and found in 2 Corinthians 12:8, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. I think we miss out on so much on the short journey of life because we choose to do life our own way. We choose to put our trust in our own guidance. We miss out on the mighty hand of God working and outpouring in our lives. We're told that in Romans 10:11, if we trust in Jesus, we'll never be put to shame. Sometimes we can feel shame, but we'll never be put to shame because we know that if we walk in righteousness and in the ways of Jesus Christ, people may want to put shame on us, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Isaiah, we're told in chapter 26, if we trust in Jesus, we'll receive peace. Woohoo! We need some peace here today. Sometimes we need some peace and quiet. Especially if we've got little children, which we haven't, they've all this time. Isaiah 28 says, we'll never be dismayed. Proverbs 28 again says, we will prosper. And that just doesn't mean financially. It means holistically. Psalm 32 says, we'll be surrounded by God's unfailing love. Jeremiah 17 says, we will be blessed. If we'll only just relax and chill out and take our hands off and say, Father, I'm not dealing with this anymore. What are you trusting God for? Your finances, your health, your marriage, your family? What you're going to do in your future? A future relationship? What to buy? What money to give to this mission or that ministry or that? What are you trusting God for? If anything, or are you just saying, yes, I've got this, I've got that, and I must do this, and I must do that, and that's the way it's going to be done, without even conferring or asking Father? He's there. I ask him things all the time. And it's amazing how quickly he answers. Most times. Sometimes I've had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and it's so, oh, Father, when? But the answer is coming, and I trust him for the right season and the right time. because I've learned that he's trustworthy, and when I'm faithless, he's always faithful. Eric and I, we've been Christians roughly around about 24 years, and we've been a full-time ministry now for 14 and a half years, going around to communities in Australia, mainly small churches. Our smallest church that we've ever been to has been 3 people, and we travelled 800 kilometres to get there. So just to bring the word of God and hope and to say to those people, you're not overlooked. You're not overlooked, and I commend anybody who is supporting the farmers at this time, because they feel so overlooked and abandoned. But I've learned to trust in God for our protection. On the road, we've already killed one car. He died. And actually, I'm glad he's gone, because he was... Eric kept sucking out this green fluid out of the overflow and the radiator, and it was not good. I'm glad it's gone. May he rest in peace. Although we saw him the other day driving around our car, and we just went, "You're still going? Unbelievable!" Blessing of the Lord still just keeps going, I'm sure. But we've learned to just trust in the Lord for our protection. With the amount of kilometres that we have done on Australian roads, and Queensland roads tend to be the worst in all of Australia, we have never had a serious accident. We've jumped on the other side of the highway. Nothing was coming towards us with the caravan. We bounced on the other side. Nothing was coming, but as soon as we got on the right side of the road, a car came around the corner. We've nearly gone over a cliff, but that's about it. In 14 and a half years, we say, "Thank you, Lord. We've done ministry in really, 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 really dodgy areas. Really dodgy areas. One church actually shut the door. Nobody else is coming in." Really dodgy. We've trusted the Lord for our protection, and He is good. We've trusted the Lord for our health. In 14 and a half years, there's only been twice, I think, that Eric has not been able to sing. And you know something? Not being able to sing to his expectation. He got up to sing, and one song, and he went, he hit a soprano note that I don't think most sopranos can hit. And he said, "Well, I think that's about me done for the night. I'm going to have to sit down." And for me, there's been times in where I go, "Wow, Lord, I can't talk. I don't think I can do this." But knowing that my God is good and He's opened a door to bring the Word of God, which is His heart and His will, I've gotten up in faith. And I'm sure Pastor John can testify too. And as I get up and say, "Would you turn with me to the book of," the voice starts to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'll get down, I'll sit down, and my voice is gone again. But God can do mighty things if we'll just say, "Okay, I'm abandoning what I see, what I feel, my circumstance. I'm going to trust that you're going to equip me." Remember, God's strength and power is seen in weakness, our weakness. I trust God for my emotions. I turned 50 last year. So my emotions at this point in time are a little bit getting there. And this last week, we've been hammered with family issues. And you know, it's been really tough. And poor Eric came out of the studio, and he didn't see me cry. And I very rarely cry. But the dog had never seen me cry either. And I just went on the bed and I just sat there and I sobbed because of what had happened this week. And I just sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed. The dog's going, "Ah, ah, ah," and I'm thinking, "Stop barking, let me cry, let me cry." Before I knew it, Eric had heard the dog barking in the studio, and he came around the corner to the bedroom. And he was just like, are you okay? It's like, I don't see you like you're always like, Miss Superwoman, tough nuts. You know, and he gave me a hug and rubbed my back, you know, and I said, it's okay. And I said, you know something? I'm trusting God because God has already prepared me for this situation. I just started reading the book of Job. Just started that morning when we got this news, or this what had happened. And I said, and before that, before I got this news also, I was going through an old bulletin. And there was something about, if God takes you to the edge of a cliff, he'll either, one of two things will happen. He'll either catch you when you fall, or he'll teach you to fly. And I thought, wow, well, I've had my slog. Lord, you've caught me. Now I'm ready to fly. I trust him with my emotions because, you know, the humanity of Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he went through stuff. He understands what we go through. I trust him with our finances. I was not expecting Pastor John to say that this morning, and so I thank you. But in our times of need, it's been amazing how a Coles gift card or something will just rock up in the mail so that we can buy some shopping. It's amazing. We had had an account in a Baptist church in Coffs Harbour. We're talking probably about 11 years ago. And I bought the message that night and I sat down, but I'd left all my stuff, my Bible and my book, up here. And I remember sitting down and the service went on and then the service finished. And I saw a guy and all he did was walk by and I saw him just go like this and then walk off. And I thought, well, that's a bit strange. And as you do, we packed up the gear and we're always the last one to leave. And at that time we had our two daughters with us and they were quite small and they were tired because it was a night service and grumpy as our children sometimes got if they weren't little angels all the time. And we were on our way home and they're fighting with each other in the car and Eric's saying, be quiet, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's been a long night, as we, you know, parents do. And I looked at my Bible and I went, oh, that's a bit thick. And I opened it up and I went, and I said to them in the back, I said, have you all finished carrying on? Mums can twist their necks. Have you all finished carrying on? And they said, yeah, what? And I said, I've got some amazing news. They said, what? And Eric was totally oblivious to what? I said, somebody has put money in my Bible. And of course the girls said straight away, how much? How much? And I counted it, and there was $1,000. $1,000 was in our Bible. And straight away, the girls go, what can we buy? Because, I mean, they're children, and they're thinking, well, we can go to McDonald's, and we can go here, and we can go there, and go to Dreamworld with $1,000. I'm sure that'll cover that. We could even go to Los Angeles, all of us. Not. But that's how children think. Eric and I discussed it, and we have learned with our finances. Although God provides for us, and we are so grateful for his provision because we could not continue to do what we do without his provision and his leading through people to provide for us, because that's basically what happens. We've also learned that when large sums of money like that come in, we're not to spend it at all. And it just so happened that a couple of weeks later, we did the head on this truck that eventually died for us. And it came to $996. We had $4 left for a couple of cups of coffee. And so we thank God for his provision and we trust him to provide for us. We trust him for our help. We trust him for our protection. We trust him with our emotions. We trust him totally. And it keeps coming back to why? Because he's good. Because he's good. I want to close with this scripture in the book of Jeremiah. Many of you will know it. But it confirms to me what I just said there to you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know," now this is the Lord speaking, "for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." He has plans for us. He has great plans for us. I want to live the journey of God's plans. In that journey, I want to... Life is so short. We get to an age where we feel, well, we can't do anything. But you know something? At every stage in life, God has his plan for his people, for his children. It's not a cop-out. Age is not a cop-out. Academics is not a cop-out. There is no excuse that we can give to the Lord to say, "I can't trust you for this. I can't do this because the Lord is with us and he has a plan and he has a purpose for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you that we can trust you, that you are good, that you are indeed God Almighty, that you are faithful, that you, Father, are the great I Am. I thank you, Father, that in all things, Father God, you bring good to it, even in horrible situations, Father. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of horrendous things happening in people's lives. And yet, when stillness comes and they think, what good can come out of this? And they seek you, they have that peace. Passes all understanding. They know that you are trustworthy. Father, I thank you for these people here today. I thank you, Father, that you have opened their hearts and their minds. I thank you that you have challenged them today, that you have challenged us today to continue in your ways and to step out of our comfort zones to do your will, your perfect will, knowing that you will catch us if we fall. Knowing that you will help us to fly in hard situations. But perhaps you don't know Jesus Christ here this morning. Perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus. Perhaps you've given your life to Jesus and you've walked away or you've tried to do life your own way. Well, I'm telling you, Father God has never walked away from you. Never. He's always been there with open arms saying, "I love you. I love you with a passion. Why are you walking away from me? Come back to me." So this morning, by a raised hand, I'm going to ask if you would like to give your life to Jesus this morning, or if you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus this morning. All I'm going to get you to do is just raise your hand, and you're raising your hand to Almighty God saying, "Almighty God, I want to trust you with my life. I want to walk in your ways from this day forth." Is there anybody here today who would be so bold? Just raise your hand right now. God knows your heart. Thank you. Praise God. Anybody else? This is a pivotal moment in time. Praise God. Pivotal moment in time. I'm going to pray for those who raise their hands. And I believe that God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, will come in and meet your needs, will protect you on this journey, will help you on your journey to follow him. Is there anybody else before I pray for those who raise their hand? Don't be hard-hearted. Don't be stubborn. Anybody else? Praise God, thank you. Father, for those who raise their hands this morning, I thank you for their willingness and their courage, Father God. Because the flesh says, "I don't want to. I can do this by myself." but the Spirit is calling and drawing all men to yourself. And so for those who raise their hand, Father, I pray for your protection to be upon them, that you would strengthen them in their weakness at this time, Father God, that you would encourage them in your ways, that they would see your word as a light in the darkness, that the prayer, Father God, to you, their talk time with you would just flow, that they would see you not as some distant God, but as a near friend, caring for their very being, their very soul. I pray, Father God, that you would grow them in holiness and righteousness. Open their eyes, Father God, that they may see the truth, and they would have a mighty encounter with you, in Jesus' name. I also pray, Father God, for those people here who are struggling. In fact, if you're struggling and you've said to yourself, oh, I don't know, I'm just really, really struggling, Lord. If that's you here, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Anybody? Nobody struggling? Interested? Praise God, one honest person. Anybody else? Is there anybody here who suffers from not trusting Jesus? Father God, I thank you for my sister who says she's struggling. And I pray over her life, Father God, a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit today. I pray, Father God, that she would know a special touch from you, that she would testify about the great God that you are living in her life. I pray, Father God, that you would indeed raise her up on wings like eagles, that you would cause her suffering to be part of a time in her life where she actually grows and is strengthened. I pray that you'll turn this situation that she's in into a mighty work of your hand, that you may get the glory, Father. I thank you, Father God, for this surrendered soul. I pray, Father, too, for those who are seated here, that they would be surrendered unto you and your Holy Spirit. And as Eric leads, as in a time of music now, a time of song, a time of reflection, if you need to surrender to Jesus this morning for whatever reason, perhaps you haven't kept short accounts with sin, perhaps there is distance between you and God, while Eric's singing this song, I Surrender, I pray that this would be a moment in time where you come before Father, before the throne, and say, Father God, I surrender. All to you I surrender.
I will ever go and try. journey that we're all on. If we love Jesus, friends, He'd lead us home. Bless you, God. Thanks so much for having me. Praise God. Thank you.